Okay, good morning, everyone. We are doing Sukkah Daf Chaf Ches, and we're going to start the second line from the bottom on Chaf Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara, if you recall, had been discussing a incident with Rabbi Eliezer, where he was in a sukkah, where someone was in a sukkah, and the sun was getting hotter and hotter, and they wanted to kind of put a tarp over the sukkah, put some kind of covering over it, and he demurred on the answer to the question a bunch of times. Ultimately, we said that it was because kol davar shelo shama mipi rabo, he would not tell over, meaning his personal practice was he would only say over things that he had a definite mesorah from his Rebbe about, but he wouldn't speculate about the halacha about other things, and that's why he was didn't answer the question of whether you could put a tarp over a sukkah. In terms of, and the issue with putting a tarp over the sukkah was the problem of ohel, of Binyan Olal. And Shabbos and Yontif, you're not allowed to build a structure. And so the question was whether by doing so you'd be over that Isser, you'd be building a structure. So the Gemara now says, V'tifsho leimi didei. Why don't we learn the halacha of whether you're allowed to put a tarp over a sukkah or put some kind of covering or extension over a sukkah from Rabbi Eliezer's position himself? Rabbi Eliezer himself weighs in on this issue elsewhere. The Tanan, we have a Mishnah in Shabbos that says, Pekaka chalon. A covering of a window, some kind of like a window stop or window plug is probably the best word. So let's say you have like a window and it would get hot, so you'd want to block off the sun.
A window shade?
A window shade, but this is more than a window shade because a window shade kind of just like drapes over it. This seems to have been like a plug. Like I'm picturing like in a submarine where there's like a round circle and you like stick a rubber plug in there.
Trusin.
So like, what's it called?
Trusin.
True, yeah, something like that. Like in Israel, they have these more of like a structure part. So the question is by doing so, are you being Mosif Alolol? Are you like, here you have a structure, and now you're putting a plug into a window. It's perhaps some form of building. You're completing the structure. What used to be a hole is now plugged up. So this Pekaka Chalon, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bizman Shekashur V'Tola Yipokikimbo. If the plug that you're plugging up the hole with is kind of pertinent to the window, it's like tied onto it, and you regularly just, you know, plug it back in and then take it off, and it's always there going in and out and in and out. It's just like, it's not like you're building a new structure. It's not like you're taking a 2x4 and constructing a new thing. It's the plug that always goes in. This is the thing that goes in the window. So if it's tied to it, so then poking him boat, and it's not a problem. Vim lav, but if it's not tied to it, because then it's like a separate piece of construction material that you're adding to it, so then in pokik and bo, you're not allowed to do it, because as Rashi points out, is the mosif hu al stimas ohel, because by doing so, you're adding to the structure of the building. That's the test that he uses. The chacham omrim ben kach ben kach pokim. Chacham say it doesn't matter whether it's tied to it or not. It's not a problem. You are allowed to you're allowed to plug up the hole in the thing because that's not considered building. So the Gemara's question is, Rabbi Eliezer himself weighed in on this issue of whether or not you're allowed to add to a existing building. And Rabbi Eliezer's answer was, well, it depends. If it's tied to the building, so therefore it's just like a thing that's regularly used, and therefore it's not like building it, so then it's okay. Whereas if it's a piece of construction material that's not already tied to the building, so then it's not okay. And so shouldn't that have answered the question for Rabbi Eliezer in the sukkah context? If it was a drape that's kind of attached to the sukkah and regularly part of the sukkah, then you could just flip it over and not a problem. Whereas if it's a separate tarp, a separate kind of construction material that you're adding to the sukkah, then it would be a problem. So the answer is,
why did he feel comfortable answering even if that answer doesn't apply? He has this masura that he doesn't answer questions on his own if it doesn't have it
from his Rebbe.
So why did he feel comfortable answering that independently?
I'm guessing there he had a masura from his Rebbe, meaning Rabbi Eliezer weighs in that Mishnah and his opinion is articulated, and following that rule, I'm assuming that means that his Rebbe told him that. He didn't necessarily always quote it in the name of his Rebbe, but he wouldn't go out on a limb and kind of be mechadish new halachos on his own. And I assume what that means is that whenever you see Rabbi Yezer cited in a Mishnah, it means he was quoting from his Rebbe. Okay, so the Gemara answer is Hasam hu de mevatel, aval hacha de lo mevatel lo. So the way Rashi understands it is that when it comes to the window, right, Hasam mevatel lo haipakak gabi chalon, v'chash levoy mikol salatz melko chavi mosif, aval sadin anansade de lo mevatel lo gabi sukkah v'sofa litlo. Meaning when it comes to a sukkah, a tarp over a sukkah, is never viewed as an integrated part of the construction of the sukkah. It's always an additional thing that you're throwing a tarp over, you're taking it off, and so therefore perhaps Rabbi Eliezer would always be makil on that because it's not like you're adding...
It's not permanently installed.
It's not permanently installed on the sukkah. It's just like an additional thing. So perhaps he would say there that it's not a problem of Oel, of Binyan, of adding to a existing structure, whereas when it comes to the Pekaka Chalon, the window... the hole in the wall, there you're, it's mevat, once you add that plug into it, it kind of looks like an integrated part of the wall. It's more of a permanent, maybe not permanent because it was, you know, but it looks like more of an integrated part of the wall, and therefore there he had a problem, whereas a tarp that was a separate material, there perhaps you didn't have a problem.
By the way, Rashi says that, or he just explaining it, Shekashra v'talo is shem kol shah. It's like there all the time.
Yeah, right.
Along the same lines of what you're saying, and it's not like a tarp. It's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. But here it's like it's always.
Yeah, well, there he's modifying when it's allowed because it's. It's always hanging there, not part of the wall, right there, right. Here, I think he's making a separate point, was that once it's in the wall, then it's an integrated part of the wall, and that's why it's more problematic. Okay. So now we're going to focus in a little bit on this Mesorah and this rule that Rabbi Eliezer had, this personal practice Rabbi Eliezer had of not saying things unless he heard them from his Rebbe. Tana Rabbanan Ma'isab Rabbi Eliezer. So we have a story with Rabbi Eliezer. Sheshavas Begalil Ha'elyon. He was in, or he lived, or he stayed in Galil Ha'elyon, Upper Galilee. V'shaluhu Shloshim Hilchos B'Hilchos Sukkah. And they asked him 30 halachos in Hilchos Sukkah. Shtemesrei Amar Lahem Shemati. So for 12 of the 30, he said, I know the answer to that. I heard them from my Rebbe. Shmona Asar Amar Lahem Lo Shemati. But for 18 of them, he refused or he declined to answer because he said, I haven't heard the answers from those questions from my Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah Omer Chiluf Hadvarim. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yudah had a different version of this story. He said, no, 18, Shmona Asar Amar Lahem Shemati. For 18 of them, he said, he was willing to answer them because he said, I heard them from my Rebbe. Shtemasar Amar Lahem Lo Shemati. And for 12 of them, he was not prepared to answer them because he said, I didn't hear them from my Rebbe. So Amru Lo, they said to him, Kol Dvarecha Einon Elo Mipi Hashmua. Anything you've ever said is only when you've heard it from your Rebbe? Like what kind of radical rule is that? So Amar Lahem, he said to them, actually, yes, his kakatuni, Lomar Davar Shlo Shamati Mipi Rabosai. I've always declined from saying anything that I haven't heard from Ram Rebbe. And then he goes into another more descriptions of his practices. Not only that I don't ever quote anything my Rebbe hadn't said or that I hadn't heard from my Rebbe, but also Miyamai lo kadamti adam bebeis hamedrash. I'm always the first person in the beis hamedrash. No one has ever beat me to the beis hamedrash in the morning. I've never fallen asleep in the beis hamedrash, not a long sleep and not even a short nap. I'm always the last to leave the beis hamedrash. I've never left a person in the beis hamedrash alone, and I've left the beis hamedrash. I've always the last to leave. I've never engaged in any kind of idle chatter. I've never talked about sports or the news. And finally, I've never said anything that I hadn't heard from my Rebbe before. It sounds like ever.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it sounds like ever, not just in the base measures, but generally. So Amru Alav Rabbi Yochanan ben Rabban. So now what we're talking about, different practices that various Tanaim had. So they quote now about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Amru Alav Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. miyamav lo sachila sichas chulin, that he never spoke idle chatter, anything extraneous to Torah. V'lo halach dalet amos b'lo Torah, he never walked four amos without thinking Torah thoughts. V'lo tefillin, he never walked four amos without wearing tefillin. V'lo kadmu adam b'beis ha-medrash, here too he said, no one ever beat me to the beis medrash. V'lo yashan b'beis ha-medrash loshinas keva loshinas arayv, never slept either a long sleep or even a short nap in the beis medrash. V'lo hirher b'mavuos ha-minutunafos, I never thought about divrei Torah in the bathroom in an unclean place. I think that's what it's referring to. V'hiniach adam bebeis hamedrash v'yatzah, I've never left a person in the beis medrash and left, meaning I'm always the last to leave. V'lo matzu adam yoshev v'domeim, v'lo matza o adam yoshev v'domeim, o yoshev shom. No one ever found him sitting and just doing nothing, like daydreaming. Ela Yoshe Vishona. He was always, whenever you see Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he's always sitting and learning. He's always thinking about Torah. V'lo pasach adam delas with talmidav el hubatzmo. He was also such a courteous person that he would always hold the door open for his talmidim himself. V'lo amar davar shlo shama mipi rabo me'olam. And similar to what we said about Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai also never said anything on his own that a Rebbe hadn't said to him. V'lo amar higia islamun mi'beis ha-medrash, and he never said, okay, it's time to go home, it's time to leave the beis medrash. Chutz me'arve psachim ve'arve yom ha-kippurim, except for Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur, because there you have to leave the beis medrash, you got to take care of cleaning out your house of chametz, and you have to do bedikas chametz. And also Erev Yom Kippur, you have to go eat your Sulam of Sekas, you have to eat your meal. But otherwise, he would never kind of leave the Beis Medrash, or he would never announce that it's time to leave. And not only that, V'chein Hayat Rabbi Eliezer, Talmido Noeg Acharav. So we see now where Rabbi Eliezer got this from. Rabbi Eliezer was the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and so his practice, some of these practices mimic the practices of his Rebbe, including the practice of never saying anything not quoted from his Rebbe. Okay, now the Gemara is going to, now that we mentioned practices and some of these Tanaim, specifically Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, the Gemara points out the following. Tana Rabbanan, we have a brace that says, Shmonim Talmidim Hayu Lo Hillel HaZaken. So Hillel HaZaken had 80 Talmidim. Shloshim Mehen Ru'uyim Shetishra Aleim Shechina, Kamosha Rabbeinu. So 30 of them were such a high stature, they were so holy, that they were capable of accepting the Shekhinah. The Shekhinah would rest upon them at the same level of Moshe Rabbeinu, which is a pretty stark, pretty radical statement. V'shloshim mehem, and 30 of them, ruim shetamud lamchama ki Yoshua ben Nun. For 30 of them, they were worthy of the sun stopping, just like it did for Yoshua ben Nun, right? In the story of Givon with the Muhammad, he needed extra time in the day to chase after the bad guys, and the sun stopped. So for 30 of them, they were on the level of Yoshua ben Nun. So that already accounts for 60 of the 80 Talmidim. And now what about the last 20? Esrim Beinonim, and then 20 of them were middle grade Talmidim. They didn't quite reach the level of Moshe Rabbeinu or Yoshua ben Nun, but as we'll see in a moment, that they were still on an extremely high level, surprisingly high level. And we see that of these 20, again, these weren't even the 20 top. These were the 20 lowest of the 80. So the top of the 20, the number one of the, number one of the 20, Gadol Shebekulan Yonasan Ben Uziel. Was Yonasan Ben Uziel, who we'll see back, we'll get back to him in a moment. Katan Shebekulan, and the lowest, or the Talmud of Hillel HaZaken, of the least stature. So again, he wasn't in the top 30. He wasn't in the next 30. He was now the lowest of the of all the Talmidim, of all the eight Talmidim. That was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And Amru Alava, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, they said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shohiniach, there was no part of Torah that he left untouched. He was an expert in all areas of Torah. Shohiniach Mikra, he didn't leave any part of Torah Shebichsav unlearned. Umishnah, he learned all of Mishnah. Gemara, he learned all of Gemara. It's interesting seeing the Gemara referring to Gemara. So Rashi kind of smooths that over and says Gemara is referring to all the limudim of the Amoraim that was a commentary on the Mishnah that ultimately made its way into Shas. Halachos, which Rashi says is referring to Halacha Lomoshim Yisinai. These are an interesting series of Rashis here because he gives examples. He says, for example, of Halachos, he talks about Shurim. Right? We know that Shurim, Chatzitzin, Mechitzin are Halacha Lomoshim Yisinai. So Shurim are like good and loved and Dofen Akuma. And the idea of chatzitza, when you go to a mikveh, how much can be covered. So those are halacha Moshe Misinai. So again, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was an expert in those. He knew all the halachos. Ve'agados, he knew all the stories and kind of ethical teachings of Chazal. Dikduke Torah, Rashi says, that's referring to extra letters that you darshan, like if there's an extra hey. You darshan that extra. So he knew all the dikdukim. He knew all the limudim like that. Vidikduke sofrim, which Rashi says refers to additional siyagim, that like additional gezeros drabanan that the rabbis enacted in order to protect the mitzvos. Kalim v'chamurim, Rashi says this refers to limudim of Kal v'chomer, of various Kal v'chomers that people learn. Ugzer shavos, we know those are. There's Ugzer shavos. Tekufos, Rashi says this has to do with figuring out the astronomy, how the moon and the sun worked. The gematrios, that's gematrias and all sorts of different variations of gematrias, atbash, etc. Sichas malachei ashares, v'sichas shedim. So here's where Rashi actually says, Lo yadana mayi. He says, all right, I've run out of categories here. I don't know what this is talking about. Malachi Asharis and Sichas Shedim, the Shedim and the Malachim talk. Vesichas Dekalim. That's also in the category of Rashi. So I don't know what this is about. Mishalos Kuvsin. The various mashalos, the sayings and the parables of the launderers, the people who did the laundry, mashalos shulim and the foxes. Rashi says this is referring to like sayings that they used. So every once in a while you come across a Gemara where it says, as they used to say these sayings. Davar gadol v'davar katan. And what is davar katan, gadol and davar katan? The Gemara itself says davar gadol ma'isa merkava. He would delve into the ma'isa merkava, the biggest mysteries about the character of Hashem, the nature of Hashem. Davar katan havayos d'Abai v'Rava. That's referring to the debates in the Beis Medrash between Abai and Rava. L'kayim mashenemar, and his all-encompassing knowledge of all these different categories of Torah is a kiyum of the pasuk in Mishlei lohanchil ohavai yesh v'otzroseim amale, that I'll fill their treasure houses. He knew all these areas of Torah. So the Gemara now comments, this was describing the knowledge and the purview of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was the lowest of the 80 Talmidim of Hillel. So the Gemara now says, V'chime achar shekatan shebekulan kach, if you see, this was the nature of the lowest Talmud of Hillel. So gadol shebekulan achas kama v'kama. You could only imagine what the number one Talmud of Hillel, what he was up to. And then finally, we said Yonasan ben Uziel, who was the top of the bottom 20 of Hillel, Amru Laval Yonasan ben Uziel. They said about Yonasan ben Uziel, Bishash Yoshev Osek Batorah, when he would sit and learn Torah, Kol Ofsha Poreach Alav Miad Nisraf. Any bird that would fly over his head would immediately burn, would explode. Rashi says, Shayu Malachi Asharis Mitzkabsim Svivav Vishmo Divrei Torah Mipiv, because the Malachi Asharis would all gather around to hear Yonasan ben Uziel's Torah, and that, I guess, had a bad effect on birds. They would explode when they encountered that. Okay.
I think it, Maseches Avos, it explicitly says the number 20, like who is this one, who is this one, Borsha?
Oh, it mentions the 20.
It mentions all the 20 names. But we never hear about those top 30. Who are they? Who was it, Rabbi Hillel's top Talmud?
Yeah.
We don't know. It doesn't say it.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's just as if
these are the most famous ones, right? Yochum and Zaka, but he's not in that top 60. Yeah. Right, that's a good question. Okay, now we have a new Mishnah. The new Mishnah is actually going to hearken back to Daf Gimel, where we first encountered this when we were talking about the size of sukkahs. And we said not only is the size in terms of measurement relevant, but we were discussing kind of whether this halacha applies to a sukkah gadol, sukkah gadol. But any event, here's the source for it. Mishnah says, Mishaya rosho verubo besukkah. Let's say this is easy for us to picture now because we know what our sukkahs look like, right? So you can imagine the sukkah butt up against your house. So you have a door going from your sukkah into your house, like many of us do. So if you're sitting in your sukkah, but you are right at the edge of the sukkah, and your table is in your house. So that's not a great way of doing things. And we're assuming now there's no overhang. If there's an overhang from your house, you're out because there's no schach. But picture your table under an overhang even. This would apply. So you have your head and most of your body is in the sukkah. So you think you're safe. However, shulchano betoch habayis. But your table is in your house. Now, I'm assuming that if you're leaning over into your table eating, that's certainly no good according to everyone. But the question is, can you, if you, you know, sit up straight like you're supposed to and you feed yourself like that, and you're sitting and eating in your sukkah proper, but your food and your table is outside of the sukkah, and there's a very easy risk of you leaning over and eating outside of the sukkah. So that's the situation that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are addressing here. Beis Shammai poslim. Beis Shammai says that's no good. You have to be careful about this issue. Ubeis Hillel machshirim. Beis Hillel says it's kosher. Says it's kosher. So Amru lahem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, Lokach haya maisa. Don't you remember there was a story? Shalchu ziknei Beis Shammai v'ziknei Beis Hillel v'akir es Rabbi Yochanan ben Achurnas, where our, you know, the elders of both of our camps went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Achurnas. Umitzauhu shaya yoshev rosho v'rubo b'sukkah v'shulchanu b'toch habayis. And we actually witnessed him carrying on exactly like this. His table was inside and he was sitting in the sukkah. V'lo amru lo davar, and no one said anything, meaning the elders of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel didn't seem to have a problem with him doing this. And so Beis Hillel is trying to use this as a Maisa Rav, as a proof to the fact that it's not a problem to do this. So Amru and Beis Shammai said, no, actually, that's not how you got the story wrong. Misham Raya, that's your proof. Af him Amru lo, in fact, that's not how the story went. Him Amru lo, im kein ha'isa noeg, the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, I presume he's saying, said to him that if you're going to do that, if you're eating in your sukkah with your table right outside, so look, if that's the case, lo kiyamta mitzvah sukkah miyamecha, then you've never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah.
It's a very different recollection.
It was a very different recollection. They both had completely opposite recollections. So yeah. That's the first half of this Mishnah. Let's just pause for a second because there are two very interesting things to discuss about this first half of this Mishnah. First of all, you'll notice the little vav at the beginning of the Mishnah, right over the words Beis Shammai. So that's a reference to the Ein Mishpat Ne'er Mitzvah. Usually, if you see a little vav, that's the reference to the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch, which means we usually paskin like that halacha. It's very rare that we paskin like Beis Shammai, but this is the one of the, if you look at Tosfos on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph in Sukkah, he says that this is one of the 6 instances in Shas where we paskin like Beis Shammai. He says, Daf Gimel Toso says, Dir Maslo Da'amar, B'seder of Amram, Pasak B'shisha Mekomo Salacha K'Beis Shammai, Chada Hai, the Sukkah Tzricha Shtei Mechzach Zrosh of Rubu Shulchano. And then he goes through the 5 instances. But this is the one case, this is one of the 6 cases in Shas where we actually paskin Beis Shammai. You're not allowed to have your table inside. And it's actually quoted in Shulchan Aruch like that. That's number one. The other thing that's fascinating about this Mishnah is that what did Beis Shammai quote them as saying to Rabbi Yochanan ben Achurnas? They're saying, if you violated this Chumra Drabanan, right? Midoraisa, it's certainly not a problem as long as you're eating in the sukkah to have your table in the house. That's certainly not a problem. This is only a Chumra Drabanan to avoid you leaning over and eating over your house. And yet they said, if you didn't follow this Chumra Drabanan about how to be Mekayim Mitzvah of Sukkah, then Imkein lo kiyamta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. And you've never been Mekayim the Mitzvah of Sukkah. If you read that literally, it sounds like it's saying that if you
did it once.
If you, no, not only that, but if you violate a rabbinic rule about how to fulfill a Doraisa Mitzvah, then you're not even fulfilling the Doraisa Mitzvah at all. It's almost as if the rabbis abrogated, you know, the rabbis kind of obliterated the mitzvah as long if you don't follow all their rules, which is a little bit of a radical statement. And so this is discussed in the context of a whole bunch of different things. In fact, there was a situation, this is a Mikrai Kodesh, Rabbi Petzach Frank's Sefer, and he talks about a situation in Yerushalayim that took place where a certain rabbi, Rabbi Schlesinger, I don't know who he was, he came up with this idea that nowadays you can blow the shofar on Shabbos in Yerushalayim. Okay. So he came up with this radical opinion. No one agreed with him. I guess he said after 1967, now that we have the Yerushalayim in our hands, you're allowed the prohibition of blowing shofar on Shabbos, which is again it's a takana derabba, right? It's only a rabbinic.
When did Rabbi Pesach Frank pass away?
Okay, fine. Maybe it was before. So maybe it was after we have Israel, you know, Eretz Israel. Now the state of Israel exists. Whatever it was, he said for whatever reason nowadays the rabbinic prohibition against blowing shofar on Shabbos no longer exists, and he actually staged a shofar blowing in Yerushalayim on Shabbos. And so Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank in this article here discusses, do you gain anything by attending the shofar blowing? Right? You yourself are not going to blow the shofar, but maybe you should go because it's a mitzvah that I see hear the shofar. It's true the rabbi said we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, but if this, you know, interesting fellow is going to blow the shofar on Shabbos and he thinks it's halachically permitted, maybe it's worthwhile for everyone to go into the street and listen to him blow the shofar and you'd be accomplishing something. And a big part of the discussion revolves around this issue. Because if the rabbis say you're not supposed to blow the shofar on Shabbos, and then this Mishnah taken literally means that when the rabbis say something, it means that they kind of undermine the whole mitzvah d'oraisa with their rule. So then blowing the mitzvah on shofar on Shabbos will be completely meaningless. But you won't gain anything. There's just no reason to walk over and hear the shofar because it's as if it's nothing.
The reason with the shofar is that it's because of a tiltel.
We're worried that you're going to carry it. Right. But the rabbis say that's a hard and fast rule. We don't allow you to blow shofar on Shabbos. And so maybe that means, based on this Mishnah, that they say that if you don't blow the shofar in the style that's appropriate, that's approved by the rabbis, then you're not even mekayim a mitzvah d'oraisa. Mm-hmm. So then there'd be no value at all to blowing the shofar.
I can understand that, because we have Eruv, all right, you can carry. The same reason that we...
Well, that's right. That was Rabbi Schlesinger's approach, I guess. Fine. This also comes up in the context of like the Bir Halacha and the Mishnah Berurah deals with this in the context of, let's say you accidentally were nota luluv on Shabbos. Let's say the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos and you're absent-minded and you take your luluv and you shake your luluv. And now it's the second day. So everyone else around you is making shechianus on their luluv. Do you make a shechianu on your luluv? So he quotes a machlokas achronim as to whether you make a shechianu on your luluv. On the one hand, you did luluv yesterday, the first time you did luluv, and it was true, it was Shabbos, but on a Torah level, you were mekayim the mitzvah. But based on this Mishnah, maybe, even on a Torah level, you weren't mekayim the mitzvah, because the rabbi said, don't take a luluv on Shabbos. And so maybe you should make a shechianu on day two, when you're actually doing it for the first time in a real way. So, okay, so those are two interesting things that come out of this Mishnah. The Mishnah now continues. How do we paskin? The Bir Halacha just cites two achronim on the issue and isn't machriyat.
He leaves it there.
He leaves it for you to figure out, yeah. I think he says ayin sham. He says look in the sources and I guess figure it out for yourself.
Eat a new fruit.
That's right. That's the answer. Eat a new fruit. Okay, good. The Mishnah now says, Nashim va'avadim uketanim peturim min asukkah. Women, slaves, and minors are all pater from the sukkah. This makes sense intuitively, and we'll talk for a minute or two about this, because the mitzvah says, Shazman grama, it's a time-bound positive mitzvah. Katan sheno tzarech imo chayav v'sukkah, a katan who is no longer tied to his mother, which the Gemara will define on Amud Beis soon, is chayav in sukkah, not chayav on a biblical level, perhaps, won't be only chayav mishum chinach. And then we say, Maisa v'yolda kalaso shal shamay azakin. The daughter of Shammai had a baby upiches es hamaziva v'sichech agabe hamita b'shvokatan. And he like kind of pulled back the awning and put schach up over the baby's carriage or over the baby's stroller for this baby. So the Gemara is going to say this seems contradictory because we just said it's only a katan sheno tzarech imo. If the kid was just born, he's probably tzarech imo still. So we'll get to it. Okay. So the Gemara says minani mili. So how do we know this rule? And we're skipping now to the end of the Mishnah. We left the beginning of the Mishnah. We're at the end of the Mishnah where it was talking about a woman, a child, and an eved that they are pater from sukkah. So minani mili. How do you know this? The Tanur Rabbanan. Ezrach, the pasuk says Ezrach that all your citizens should participate in the mitzvah of sukkah. Ze Ezrach. That's referring to everyone, right? It's every citizen, every Jew. Ha Ezrach. And now the pasuk actually adds the word hey, and the Gemara now is understanding that as a miut. Whenever it says ha Ezrach, only that citizen, only that Ezrach, v'hotzi es anashim, that is to say just men are chayiv in sukkah, women are not chayiv in sukkah. Kol, and when it says kol, l'rabos es haketanim, that's to include ketanim, at least we'll see whether this is a smachters or whether it's really midaraisa, but it's saying that ketanim should participate in the mitzvah of sukkah. So the Gemara now says, Amar mar, ha Ezrach, you're understanding that hey as a miut to say that someone, that not everyone should be in the chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah, that women are excluded. Lememra de ezrach bein nashim bein gavrei mashma. And if the hey weren't there, if it was just the word ezrach, it would include everyone. But that contradicts the following price. Vatanya ha ezrach. Here we're going to flip it just the other opposite way for the purpose of talking about who has to fast on Yom Kippur. Ha Ezrach, there it says, Ha Ezrach, Lerabos Es Anashim, that when the word Hey is there, it includes more people, right? That every citizen is included. Ha Ezrachios Shechayavos Beinoi, meaning, I'm sorry, Lerabos Es Anashim, Ezrachios Shechayavos Beinoi, that women are included in the mitzvah of Yom Kippur, they also have to fast. Alma Ezrach Gavri Mashma, the implication is that if you take away the Hey, that's the miut. And that's where only men would be included. Meaning we understood Ezrach without the hay as being all-inclusive, everyone. And then the hay is mamayit and takes away women so that it's only men. And yet in the Braisa talking about Yom Kippur, it's just the opposite. There, Ezrach included everyone. I'm sorry, Ezrach included only the men. And Ha-Ezrach was a riboy to include everyone. So which way is it going? We don't know, is the hay to include or is it to exclude? So Amar Rabba says, actually, don't pay such serious attention to these drashos. Hilchas ninhu. Really, these halachos fundamentally are halachos Moshe Mitzrayim. They're not actually learned from these psukim. So you don't have to take these two conflicting drashos too seriously. They're just asmachtas. Asmachinu Rabbanan akrai. And the Rabbanan just use these psukim as kind of mnemonics or to rest it on, but you don't have to. What, meaning, even though there are two contradictory understandings of whether a hay is memayit or marbe, don't get bogged down in that because these are just the smacht, is basically saying. So Gemara says, "Hai kra vayilchasa." Which one is to be taken seriously as a drasha, and which one is learned as alchem Moshe Mitzrayim? And then more fundamentally, and this is kind of the most important question, Visu, furthermore, Kra Lamali, Hilchasa Lamali, why do you need a Pasuk, why do you need Hilchasa Lamali in any of these issues of whether women are included in Yom Kippur or Sukkah? We know there are general rules about women are included in mitzvahs. HaSukkah, mitzvah sasesha is mangrama. A Sukkah is a positive time-bound mitzvah, and we know the rule of Chol mitzvah sasei, shazman grama, nashim peturos. Whenever you have a time-bound positive mitzvah, women are not mechuyavos in that mitzvah. So why would you need a pasuk or a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim to tell you that women are not included? We know that because of the general rule. And then furthermore, v'yom ha-kippurim, And Yom Kippur also, we have a rule that'll tell us whether women have to fast. Midrav Yudah Marav Nafka. We should learn that from the rule articulated by Rav Yudah Marav. The Amar Rav Yudah Marav, he said, V'chein Tanit Be'i Rav Yishmael Amar. Also, Tanit Be'i Rav Yishmael said, the Pasuk said, Ish O Isha. The Pasuk, this is a Pasuk about Me'ilah, about the prohibition of taking from Hekdesh. Hishfe Hakasuv Isha Le'ish L'chol Onshin Shebetorah. That whenever it comes to a negative commandment, such as Me'ilah or any negative commandment, any Isser, women and men are on the same level. Women are not allowed to eat treif, just like men are not allowed to eat treif. Women are not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur, just like men are not allowed to eat on Yom Kippur. So why do you need a pasuk, or why do you need a halacha Moshe Sinai to teach you the halacha by women on Yom Kippur? You should learn it from this general rule that women are always prohibited from doing negative commandments. So Amar Abai is going to kind of resolve this whole problem. So Abai says, first of all, as Rashi sets it up, the pasuk is marbeh. Meaning, the pasuk is coming to include more things. So, if you were to learn the pasuk, the way we did it for Yom Kippur is really the better way to learn the hay. That the hay is marbe. But he says you don't need these pasukim because really the whole thing is learned as halacha mishmisina. Yolam sukkah hilchasa. The sukkah is halacha. Now again, we're saying that a sukkah, the fact that women are paturos from sukkah, is halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. And we're back then to our original question, why do you need us to tell you that? We know that women are always putter from time-bound positive commandments, v'itzrech, and yet you need halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai to teach you that women are excluded, because you might have thought that sukkah is the exception to the general rule, because teshvu ke'in taduru, because the pasuk says, b'sukkah is teshvu. And we know that generally means that you should sit in the sukkah like the way you normally sit. And you means you eat nice foods, you bring out your kelim, and it probably also means you bring your wife out to the sukkah, because usually when you're sitting in your house, you invite your wife to the table. And so maybe that should now include women in the mitzvah of sukkah, teshvu kein tadura. You should sit in the sukkah just like you sit in your house, including the women. Madira ish v'ishto, just like in your house, the man and wife sit together, af sukkah ish v'ishto, so too in your sukkah, the men and the women should sit together. That's the Havmina Kamash Milan. We have a Racha Moshe Mi'Sinai to teach you. No, actually, don't follow that drasha. Women are not Mechuyavos in Sukkah. An alternative Havmina, Rava Amar Itzrich. Rava says the reason you need this Racha Moshe Mi'Sinai is to teach you is because you might have thought Sukkah, Daita Chamina, Yolef Chamisha, Sar Chamisha, Sar Michagamatzos. You might have learned a lot of halachos that from Pesach we learn over to Sukkot from this Zer Shav of Chamisha Asar, Chamisha Asar. So you might have thought that just Ma'ala Allah and Nashim Chayavos, just like by Pesach, women are Mechuyavos in the positive commandment of eating matzah, because there you have a drasha of Baal Tochel Chametz to eating matzah. So you might have thought that then that rule carries over to here. So afkan nashim chayavos, that women are obligated to sit in the sukkah, kamash mulan, that they're not. This halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai teaches you that they're not. So the Gemara now says, v'hashad amr sukkah hilchasa kra lamali. So, right, originally, now that we concluded that this exclusion of women from the mitzvah of sukkah is a halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai, what are you going to do with the extra word ha'ezra? Right, that was originally learned in the beginning of the Gemara to learn to hotzias anashim. Now it seems to be extraneous because you already know it from a halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. It was just an asmakta. So what's fundamentally what's the pasuk of ha'ezra coming to teach you? Lerabos esa gerim, to include gerim converts. Saka daita chamina ha'ezrach bi Yisrael marachmana v'lo esa gerim. You might have thought that when it says citizens of Israel in the pasuk, that's coming to exclude converts. Kamash Milan, no, Ha'ezrach is a riboy to teach you additional people, specifically gerim, that they are absolutely included in the mitzvah of sukkah, just like they are included in every other mitzvah. And Yom HaKippurim, oh, so now So now the question is, well, Yom Kippur, why did you have drushes? Why do you have Ochel Moshim Yisinai? What's the extra thing you're learning about Yom Kippur? We already know that women are Mechuyavos in Yom Kippur. They have to fast. Midrab Yudah Marav, who said Ish Visha, that we always say that women are Mechuyavos in Mitzvos Alavin. Yudah Marav Nafka. So Gemara says, Lo Nitzrach El Tosefes Inoy. It's to teach you that they are included in... we have an idea of Tosefes Yom HaKippurim, right? That Yom Kippur, you're supposed to add some time to it before or after. You're not supposed to start exactly at Shkia or at Seis and end exactly at Seis. You're supposed to add on to Yom Kippur. So Tzalka Daita Chamino Ho Miyit Rachmano Tosefes Inoy Me Onesh Ume Azhara Lo Nischaivu Nashim Klal K'mash Mohan. When it comes to Tosefes Yom Kippur, so if you eat during that additional time, you're not Chayiv Karis, as opposed to during the actual time of Yom Kippur. So you might have had Avmina that since we downgrade the importance of Tosefes Yom Kippurim for purposes of the Onesh, meaning if you, let's say you accept Yom Kippur, 20 minutes early, and then you eat something during that 20 minutes, you're not going to get Karis for that. So you might have thought that 20 minutes is of a lower stature, and maybe women are not included in that, in the prohibition against eating during that additional time. So comes along the Halacha Moshe Sinai to teach you, no, women are included in the Tosefes as well. They also can't eat during the additional time that you add to Yom Kippur. Okay, the Gemara now says, Amar Mar Kol Rabbos Zaktanim, to add minors, V'atanan, Nashim V'avadim V'ketanim Petur Min HaSukkah. We seem to have a contradiction here, because we said that Kol adds Ketanim, that Ketanim do come into the Sukkah. And in the Mishnah, it said that Ketanim are Peturim in the Sukkah. So what's the story? Are Ketanim Chayiv in Sukkah or Patur in Sukkah? Well, Kasha, Kan Bekatan Shigil Chinuch, Kan Bekatan Shloi Gil Chinuch. It depends on whether he's of the age of Chinuch. If he already knows what's going on, he knows how to learn, he's able to understand and assimilate the idea of a Sukkah, so then he should go into the Sukkah, and if not, not. Katan Shigil Chinuch Midra Bananhu. The Gemara says, well, we always thought that the katan's obligation to go into the sukkah, if it's because of chinuch, it's only a rabbinic level mitzvah. So why are you now learning it from a pasuk, right? Kol l'rabbos zaktanim. So we answer, no, you're right. Midrabanan b'karas smachta b'almahu. It is only a rabbinic level. The pasuk is only being brought in as an asmachta. And then we finally said in the Mishnah, or not finally, but almost in the end, we said katan sheino tzarech l'imo. If the katan doesn't need his mother, that's when he's chayiv in sukkah. And the Gemara says, how do you define this? Heichi dami, katan sheino tzarech l'imo. At what age is he no longer considered tzarech l'imo, needing his mother? So Amri debei Rabbi Yanai kol shenifne vein imo mekan chaso. The test of whether he's a real small child that still is attached to his mother and therefore is considered not chayiv in sukkah at all is if he can, if he still needs his wife, still needs his mother to wipe him when he goes to the bathroom. Once he's past that stage already, then he should be in the sukkah. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish said, "Omer kosher niyar mishinaso v'ino korei ima ima." Anyone who, when he wakes up from his nap or wakes up from sleeping, he doesn't cry out, "Mommy, mommy." So Gemara says, "Gedolim nami karu." Even big kids say "mommy, mommy." Like that's not that just it struck the Gemara as too old a cutoff to be considered a katan sheino tzarech l'imo. So ella kol shenir ve'ino korei ima ima, someone who doesn't call ima ima, meaning
twice,
right? It's one thing to say "mommy," but to say "mommy, mommy, mommy, mommy," you know, like that's much more dependent on your mother. That's the cutoff as to when I saw in some Sefer that the Rishonim talk about, I think the Ran maybe says this is about 5 years old or 6 years old is the cutoff based on these tests. And I think also the Beis Yosef points out that this is not necessarily a machlokas, meaning when we say, that the test is whether he is able to wipe himself or the test is whether he says "mommy, mommy," those are just kind of a series of tests that you might apply, but it's not like one holds exclusively that this is the be-all and end-all test. It's just that they're offering various tests to figure out kind of what is the appropriate age. It's not necessarily a machlokas. Okay, and then the Gemara says, finally, the Mishnah said, Maisa, the Elder Kolasa, remember, Beis Shammai's Rav Shammai Azakein's daughter-in-law had a baby, and he immediately built a sukkah over the stroller. So Gemara says, Maisa Lister, we just said if the katan is still a teeny tiny baby that needs his mother, he's completely outside of the mitzvah of sukkah. So now it's bringing a story that seems to contradict it. Maisa Lister. So Gemara says, no.
By the way, so if you're saying that was a Rabbanan, and saying doing that, even if he did it, it's nothing because...
I guess that's right. We just said about... Right. Okay, good. So Chisuri Mechsra Vachi Katani. We're going to amend the Mishnah. We're going to kind of fix the Lashon of the Mishnah to make it flow better. Vishamai Machmir, as opposed to the Tanakama, or presumably Hillel, who said that a Katan Sheino Tzarech Li'imo doesn't go in the Sukkah, or doesn't have to go in the Sukkah. Apparently Shammai was Machmir on this. Umay Sinami, the other class of Shashamai Hazakein, and consistent with his shita that even a little baby should go in the sukkah. So when this little baby was born, he made a little sukkah above the carriage of the baby. Okay, let's do the next little bit.
About your recorder that is gonna.
I think it's okay. I think I'm okay. We'll finish. We'll just run through the next. This will go quickly. So the Mishnah says, "Kol shiva sayamim adam osa sukaso keva." For the 7 days of Sukkot, or 8 days in, well, 7 days of Sukkot, so you make your sukkah like your permanent place, ubeso arai, and your house should be like a more temporary place. You should spend less time in your house. Yardu gashamim, if it starts raining, me'ema sai mutter ufanos, at what point should you go inside? Misha tisra chamakva, from the time that your porridge is ruined. Rashi explains that makveh is something that's not too thick, not too thin. It's like kind of oatmeal or whatever. So, mashal madaradoma. This instance where it starts raining, you have to go inside, is, they said, a mashal that's similar to evich shabalimzo kost l'rabo v'shafachol kiton alpanav. It's a negative thing. It should be viewed as kind of Hashem. It's like an eved that goes to pour a cup of wine for his Rebbe, and his Rebbe throws the bucket of wine on him. Meaning, when we go to do a mitzvah and sit in a sukkah, and then the result is that it rains and we have to go inside, we should kind of take that as a little bit of a reprimand or kind of negative thing that's happening, that Hashem is causing to happen. Okay, should we stop here, or should we just run through a little Gemara?
I think we could leave that for the next...
You want to leave it for next? Okay, it's a busy day. Okay. All right, everyone, have a good Yom Tov.
Rabbi Steinberg.